and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for
upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called, ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We chant the introit for the 25th Sunday after Pentecost.
Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men.
Glory and thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
He raises up the needy.
us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, you have given exceedingly great and precious promises to those who trust in you. Grant us so firmly to believe in your Son, Jesus, that our faith may never be found wanting. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the 25th Sunday after Pentecost is from 1 Kings chapter 17. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel, that I may drink." And as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." And she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I am gathering a couple of sticks, that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said. But first, make me a little cake of it, and bring it to me. And afterward, make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty, until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth." And she went and did as Elijah said. And she and he and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We chant Psalm 146.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul.
I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being.
Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man, in whom there is no salvation. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry.
The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous.
The Lord watches over sojourners, he upholds the widow and the fatherless, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin.
The Lord will reign forever, your God will triumph to all generations.
The Epistle to Hebrews, chapter 9. For Christ has entered, not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly, as the high priest enters the holy places every year, with blood not his own. For then he would have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the Alleluia and praise.
Contributed to the offering box.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 12th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
In his teaching, Jesus said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and like greetings in the marketplaces and have the best seats in the synagogues and the place of honor at feasts, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." And he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
We confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in the one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
During the office hymn, we gather your pledge cards and time and talent to be presented at the altar. You may be seated. time, talent, and treasures for the work of this coming year in Christ's kingdom to the glory of his name. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In our Gospel reading today, we see Jesus sitting down opposite of the treasury, watching people come in and put money into the offering box. In fact, this is the pericope where the concept of the mite boxes come from. The LWML hand out mite boxes to have change put in, and then is collected by them and sent nationwide to help fund missions and support the kingdom of God. Now, as Jesus was sitting there, opposite of the treasury, many rich men put in large sums, contributing out of their abundance. No doubt Jesus, the Son of God, would have been so impressed by their generosity. And yet, he watched without comment, without praise. Then, without pomp or circumstance, a lowly poor widow, with only two small copper coins to her name, put in all she had. Two small copper coins. The smallest denominator in their currency, equaled together a single penny. Nobody would praise such a small contribution. I mean, after all, what would a single penny purchase? And yet, Jesus gives her praise and says that of all the rich and their abundant giving, hers was more. An interesting reason to praise her. Perhaps it was because of the merit and immensity of her sacrifice that Jesus allotted to her the higher praise. Surely it was her sacrifice of giving all that she had that earned her his approval. But it wasn't. Rather, it was the act of total trust that she had in her Lord to provide all that she needed to support her body and life. Yet it was not her trust that beckoned God's providential hand to provide for her, as if her trust was in itself meritorious enough to entice God into providing for her needs. No, his providential care for his creation has nothing to do with creation, but more to do with himself. Solely out of God's good and gracious will toward the children of men, namely his love, does he provide. For the believer and the unbeliever alike. Recall our Old Testament reading today. The poor widow in Zarephath was in much in the same dire straits as the poor widow in the Gospel lesson. The difference with the poor widow in Zarephath was that there was no sign of the trust that the poor widow in the Mark account displayed. This poor widow had only a handful of flour and a little oil in a jug. Two negligibly small things needful to support oneself. When she was asked to share in what little she had, she retorted, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare for myself and my son that we may eat it and die." She displayed no trust in the providence of God. In fact, she seemed consigned to the despair and inevitable doom that she was surely facing. She didn't even claim the one true God as her own. This was likely due to her being from Sidon, north of Israel's border, and not being one of Israel's children. And despite having nothing admirable in her, no love of God or trust in him, God provided for her and her family until the drought was ended. There was nothing in her that would have promoted or attracted God to act in such a compassionate way. And still, he provided for her and her son solely out of his unmerited and fatherly love. Thus is God's will toward all the children of men. His goodwill towards us finds its impetus and drive within God's own loving nature, rather than what man does. every good and pleasant gift that man receives flows and emanates from God's central essence, the central attribute, love. So the poor widow, the one with only two small copper coins to her name, the one who gave what little she had to her Creator, had Jesus praised, simply because she trusted in His goodwill that pre-existed this offering of hers. Those who contributed much out of their abundance, Jesus did not even praise. In fact, He counted it very little, more insignificant than the two small copper coins that equal a single penny. For they would not miss what they had given, and they only gave out of their sense of security. Here is Jesus' own testimony concerning this matter. Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box, because she out of her poverty has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. Jesus himself testifies that this poor widow gave all that she had because she knew God would provide for her, even in the face of utter destitution and starvation. Put yourself in her shoes for a moment. Such faith, such trust. Who among us would trust God to such a degree and not cling to our pearls, our material, our wealth, as if it were the source of life itself? Not a single person here probably would, myself included. How hard it is for our flesh to trust in a God who has only love for us. So weak is our fallen constitution. And Jesus is well aware of our fleshly frailty and bears with our sickness, our weaknesses. He does not scorn us for our pathetic lack of strength. Instead, He teaches us how to pray. And He gives us the perfect prayer, one He Himself composed. Within the Lord's Prayer, the fourth petition, He teaches us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." To pray this implies trust, because it is asking for what is needful, knowing that our Heavenly Father will give us these things. But this bread that is referred to here is not just bread that we eat, nor does it confess that the bread is solely given to those who live a godly life. But rather, the bread refers to everything we need to support the needs of the body, to the believer and unbeliever alike. This includes food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, home, land, animals, money, goods, wife, husband, children, faithful rulers, good government, peace, health, and the like. In this fourth petition, it confesses that God gives daily bread to everyone, even without our prayers or piety, and to all evil people as well. Much like the poor widow in the Old Testament reading, who neither asked nor trusted in God. Consider this, saints. This petition was given to us by our Lord Jesus himself, the self-same Messiah who witnessed the poor widow in the temple give her two small copper coins, the self-same Son of God who multiplied the flour and oil for the poor widow in Zarephath. Jesus tells us to pray this because such a faith does not disappoint. For the Lord is faithful. In all reality, He cannot be any other way. He cannot change this faithfulness of His and His love toward our bodily lives any more than we can change the color of our own eyes by our sheer willpower or by changing the color of our skin by mere desire. He is who He is, and He is love. And God does not only promise to provide all that we need to support this body and temporal life according to His good and gracious will, but He also feeds us with His word. Consider again the poor widow from the Old Testament reading. She starts with an unbelieving statement. "As the Lord your God lives." And in saying this, rejects this one true God as her God. Elijah responds with a word of promise, a word of provision to the poor widow. And how does this faithless woman react? With faith. She cooks him a small portion of bread from her tiny reserves of sustenance. She believed because God's promise was given. The word was delivered. Good news was preached to her. And did such faith disappoint her? Did Elijah have his fill and she and her son starve? No. Instead, she was fed through this word of promise for many days. Not only was her body provided for by a loving God, but she was also given faith through hearing that word of life. And such is the word given to mankind today from the pulpits of the servants of God, shepherds called and ordained. We are given the word which promises us provision of bodily needs and spiritual needs. We are taught to pray for it because such faith does not disappoint. God comes to us in word to bless us in all sorts of manners, from the forgiveness of sins to the strengthening of our faith to granting us peace amidst uncertainty and ultimately giving and preserving in us life and salvation. Christ also gives of himself as our great high priest, his own body and his own blood, for us Christians to eat and to drink, to the same ends as the word given in preaching. Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Christ's ascension into heaven, his entering into the presence of God on our behalf, is the reason why we can fully and completely trust his providential hand for all our needs, including the health of our body and the health of our soul. He will most assuredly act according to his goodwill toward us, knowing perfectly what is for our best. And as our great high priest, he sacrificed himself, shed his own blood, and then provided himself as the sacrifice for us to eat and to drink in Holy Communion, all for our ultimate good, so that we may have life, and have life abundantly. And this sacrifice is once for all, because the sacrifice was perfect and finished, not needing in any way our two small copper coins. God the Father accepts this once for all sacrifice as the complete atonement for all our sins. We receive this gift through faith created in us by the Holy Spirit. And how blessed we are to have Christ's holiness as our priceless treasure. We have the truest wealth, not of gold or silver, but of his holy precious blood and his innocent sufferings and death. Jesus at the right hand of the Father also continually intercedes for us, asking on our behalf the things we need and the things we don't even know to ask for to begin with. All that he asks on our behalf is for our good, and the Father always answers his sons with a yes. And on the last day, Jesus will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. With such a great high priest who is for us perfectly, we need not worry nor fret about what we shall eat, or what we shall drink, or what we shall wear. We need not worry even over the future of our own country, of our family, or of our community. For Christ, who is sitting at the right hand of the Father in the heavenly places, has in his hand all things. There is nothing that is outside serving his merciful purpose of providing for humanity, both in body and soul. No sickness, no drought, no pandemic, no war, no loneliness, no depression, no anxiety, no not anything in all creation can undermine his loving providence and plan for those whom he has called and brought to himself by the word of God. God has already conquered these things and has brought all things under subjugation to his loving will. So be at peace, dear Christian. And know that the Lord is God, that God is love, and that God is for you. Nothing is too small for him to overlook, nor anything too great for him to handle properly. Your bodily needs, your health, your wealth, your soul's needs, its health, its wealth, all find satisfaction and fulfillment in Him. And when death is at our doorstep, Christ is there saying to you, even now, I am enough for you. So be at peace, dear Christian, and abide in that peace which only God can give. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.
We continue page 192. We stand to sing the offertory.
Take the record of fellowship pad at the end of the pew, tear off a sheet to fill out, and pass it to the folks next to you. Place the sheet in the basket in the narthex as you depart. We now gather the offerings. You may be seated.
Church, we stand to pray.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus, for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, you sent your Holy Spirit to sanctify and keep your people in the true faith. Preserve us from all false doctrine, curb and restrain all error, that we may be faithful to the preaching of the pure gospel. Lord, in your mercy, merciful Lord, you sent your Holy Spirit to call all people to faith. Graciously keep us in the divine word and send out faithful laborers into your harvest. Bless the work we do this coming year in our church, childcare, campus ministry, international ministry, and all the teachings and ministries of this place. And also bless Pastor Andrew Fetter and his wife Megan as they serve in Brasov, Romania. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, grant us a faith like that of this widow who gave her two last coins, trusting that you would care for her every need. Deliver us from all false teaching and give us a genuine faith, joyful piety, and cheerful giving. This week, be with those in the vocation calling as baptized and as they celebrate their birthday, Susan Crane, Chris Ladisaw, Elijah Dykus, Tammy Lemke, Pastor Eric Rusinski, Pastor Jordan Pizer, Ann Schuster, and bless Calvin and Rowan Ullman as they celebrate their anniversaries. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, you call us to honor the authorities set over us. Look with favor upon those recently elected to serve office in this land, especially our president, Congress, judges, magistrates, governors, and legislatures. Preserve us from all evil. Bless them and give them wisdom in body and soul. We continue to pray for peace in Israel and Palestine and the Ukraine. And bless Calvin, Eli, Courtney, Gay, Mike, Emily, and Alex as they serve in the military. In our country, may we protect the unborn children in the womb. We ask that you be with those suffering from the hurricanes and the disasters recently, as we give you thanks for our rain and for the daily bread that you give in abundance. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, comfort the afflicted and the troubled and the sick. Grant, O Lord Jesus Christ, that your healing hand be upon John Michael Zubialdi, Barbara Tiller, and Nancy Prasowski, Sue Eby, Pat Lemke, Sue Favors, Kay Coffey, Betty Tinning, Lisa Smith, Candy Darmody, and Barbara Stevenson. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant us true repentance and faith to believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Comfort the Atkinson family at the death of Ron's brother with the sure hope of reunion that we have in heaven. For in Christ we have forgiveness of sins, life and salvation, and comfort their family in that reality. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant, Lord Jesus Christ, as we come to your holy table, that we will faithfully serve you in body and soul as we celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Gracious to receive our prayers, time, talent, and treasures, deliver us alone, for you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Page 194, Service of Sacrament.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. On this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, but deliver us from evil.
gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Your body, the Lord Jesus, strengthens you. everlasting departed.
Blood of Christ.
Amen.
Blood of Christ.
Shed
for
true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you from true faith to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Lord, my God.
With the minutes, page 199, we stand to say.
Upon you and give you peace.